Welcome to the Smash Show, Jodie and Kirsty.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Thank you, Andrew. Hello.
Now, what is Virgin Galactic and what is it offering its customers?
Virgin Galactic is a company owned by Richard Branson, and it is offering its passengers suborbital commercial space flights.
Okay, so passengers will be taken to a distance of relatively 110 kilometres above Earth, where they will experience weightlessness, but the aircraft will rotate around and it will land back in the same spot it's taken off from.
Yeah. Now, is Spaceship Two, the vehicle you're going to be using, related to Bert Rutan's Spaceship One, that was the vehicle that took out the XPRIZE for the first repeatable privately funded human spaceflight to exceed 100 kilometres?
Certainly is. So basically, Spaceship Two has been built around the design of Spaceship One. Obviously, they've had to take in into account building a larger version of Spaceship One so that it can carry commercial passengers.
So anyone who's familiar with the shape of Spaceship One would pretty much have an idea of what Spaceship Two will look like.
Fairly similar for Spaceship Two, although the carrier aircraft, White Knight Two, is completely different to that of White Knight One.
Now, you said it was going to go up to 110 kilometres. What's the significance of that altitude?
Well, 100 kilometres above Earth is the actual definition or the start of space, called the Kármán line. So by exceeding that distance, passengers will actually be able to claim their astronaut wings.
Now, if they look at Spaceship Two, what would they see? Typical thing like a space shuttle or something like a rock, looked like a conventional rocket, or help our listeners picture it in their minds.
It's actually going to look fairly similar to a corporate jet, the design of Spaceship Two. White Knight Two, the carrier aircraft, is quite different in design. It actually has a twin fuselage. So if your listeners out there can picture the carrier aircraft White Knight Two having a twin fuselage, an expansive wings on it, and then in the middle of the fuselage, that's where actual Spaceship Two will sit. So it will take off via a runway, and it will be an air launch.
And what's the role of the White Knight Two?
White Knight Two is obviously giving Spaceship Two the ability to get to an altitude where it can air launch. That altitude will be 50,000 feet, which is where Spaceship Two will be released, and her rocket engines will fire up and she'll zoom into space.
So the carrier aircraft takes you up to an altitude about 15 kilometres or so, and then you're released from the wing of the aircraft?
You're released from the centre of White Knight Two. So you're sitting. The Spaceship Two is sitting in between the two fuselage on White Knight Two. So you're released from there. Pretty much instantaneously, you're travelling at. Can I rephrase that? Instantaneously, as soon as her rocket engines fire up, you're within 12 seconds, you're supersonic, and within 30 seconds, you're travelling at Mach 3.3, so it certainly has a lot of speed behind her. Instantaneously, with those rocket engines firing up, you do experience 3Gs automatically, so there's a huge amount of force that comes into effect at that time. Spaceship Two will reach, as mentioned, an altitude of around about 110 kilometres above Earth. And at that point in time, it will take 90 seconds from her air launch to that point. At that point in time, she will then turn her engines off. And this is when passengers will experience approximately 4 minutes of weightlessness. So they'll be able to leave their seats, float around the cabin. There'll only be six passengers on board, so there'll be plenty of room. There'll be expansive windows surrounding the cabin so that the astronauts have the ability to peer out the window and see space, see the curvature of the Earth, that beautiful blue rim thin line surrounding the Earth. And of course, just experience that total exhilaration and feeling of where they actually are.
The early spaceships, of course, Mercury, Gemini, even today's Soyuz, only have very small windows. The space shuttle's a bit bigger. How do how does the Spaceship Two compare with those?
The Spaceship Two has been designed so that obviously the passengers do have the most amount of visual, I've just gone blank.
they can see a panoramic view.
They do. They have a panoramic view. The windows on Spaceship Two will be approximately 3 to 4 times the size of a normal aircraft window. So when they were looking at the design of Spaceship Two, that was certainly a major consideration they wanted to take into account, so that their passengers could experience, the total visual outline of space.
Yes, most people would have flown in a commercial airliner and realised that if they've got the window seat, the view is, well, not too bad. But if you're in the next row out, or even the worst, the third row out, you almost got no view at all.
That's completely correct. And Spaceship Two could actually have the capacity to carry 9 passengers if it wanted to. And by that I mean having a third row in the middle, but then that wouldn't be fair to those people sitting in the middle section. So they've kept it at 6 so that everyone will have a window seat, but there are windows surrounding the entire cabin.
Okay, so above as well?
Yes, certainly. So to the side and above.
And once they're in the zero gravity part of the flight, they can leave their seats?
Certainly can. So they'll have that 4 minutes of weightlessness to do their somersaults, float around the cabin, experience it the way a true astronaut would experience it.
Now, some astronauts get sick the moment they get into space, even professional astronauts, and of course many people will have seen the movie Apollo 13 and the Chunder there. I guess that'll be taken care of.
Motion sickness could be a problem for some, but I'm hoping that those passengers that have booked are well and truly prepared for that. There will be the ability to do pre-flight training out at the spaceport, so hopefully in that period of time they will be able to overcome any illness that may be associated with flying at that speed and with zero gravity, so that when they are doing the real thing, they're there to truly experience and enjoy it.
So we've reached 110 kilometres, we're weightless, we're now on the way down. What's going to happen now?
Okay, so upon the beginning of that weightless period, that's actually when Spaceship Two wings have the capability of feathering. So they rotate up to a 90-degree angle, which will create a drag effect as the atmosphere slowly starts to pull her in. So that was one of the, a very unique part of the design of Spaceship Two. After that 4 minute period, as Spaceship Two does start to begin her re-entry, passengers will need to fasten their seatbelts again and prepare for re-entry. Their seats will actually recline from a normal upright position to a flat position, and that's going to help with the G-force effect coming back in. They will experience GX, which is the pressure from the front to the back, so their chest may feel quite restricted during that time. Upon re-entry, she will reach up to 6 Gs coming back in, but that's only for a few brief seconds. It'll take about 90 seconds for her to get down to an altitude of around 70,000 feet, and then her wings will de-feather, so they'll rotate back down so that she can glide back to Earth.
So it comes down as a glider, not a powered craft?
Certainly does. So the only time Spaceship Two has her rocket engines fired up is during that 90-second period where she's air-launched going up into space. As soon as her engines are turned off during that weightless period, she's gliding all the way back to Earth, so there's no power usage at all.
And you land back where you took off from?
Same runway. That will be in New Mexico. They're building Spaceport America out there, a multi-million dollar complex that's been specifically designed for these space flights, with Virgin Galactic being the primary tenant at this stage.
How long from takeoff to landing?
Roughly a 2-hour experience. Obviously they're still working on getting the actual flight profile down pat and the length of time that it will take, but the majority of time will be spent obviously reaching that initial 50,000 feet, and then once she de-feathers and gets back down to 70,000 feet upon re-entry, that will take around about 45 minutes or so to glide back down to Earth. So they're anticipating approximately a two-hour experience at this stage. However, the overall Virgin Galactic experience is 3 days as such, because passengers will spend 3 days out at Spaceport America doing their pre-flight training, their final medical checks, before going up and enjoying the real thing.
And just to think that America's first astronaut, Alan Shepard, had 15 minutes approximately from takeoff to splashdown.
There you go. Well, this is certainly going to give them a little bit more than that. Upon the 3 day training, White Knight 2, the carrier aircraft, has the ability to do some parabolic flying. So the idea partly behind her design as well is that astronauts that might be going up in a day or two's time will be able to do their training in White Knight 2 with some parabolic flying, so some zero G flying and feeling that G force effect.
So you're looking at a wider audience or wider clientele than just the so-called tourist or passengers?
Possibly. At this stage, White Knight 2 will be reserved purely just for booked astronauts at this stage. But there's no telling down the track if, you know, as more aircraft come on board, if there might just be the possibility of people doing a White Knight experience and not the actual Spaceship 2 full flight profile. Mm.
Jody, the Alan Shepard and the early astronauts were described as having the right stuff. They had to go through extensive training and stuff like that. Will the passengers on this Spaceship 2 need special training?
They will. So what they will do is spend the 3 days prior to their actual flight out at Spaceport America, undergoing extensive training, going through medical checks to make sure that they're healthy enough to fly at these levels. Certainly an all-inclusive
package.
Yeah.
Okay. The people who go up on the Soyuz missions, they need about a year of training. So this is quite a revolution, isn't it?
Oh, certainly. To be able to have your training 3 days before your actual flight is something that's quite exciting and new to, I guess, the space industry. I guess at this stage they're still fine-tuning all those sorts of things, but they are anticipating it, that 3 days will certainly be enough for these future astronauts.
So if I signed up, what sort of training could I expect?
So you would have the 3 days out at Spaceport America included in that flight package. What Virgin Galactic have done at this stage is they've actually put their first 80 confirmed astronauts through training at the NASDAR Centre in Philadelphia, which is the National Aerospace Training and Research Centre. Up until early last year, that centre was only open for astronauts through NASA for fighter pilot training and so forth. So it was never really a centre that was open to the public as such. This is an agreement that's come on board with Virgin Galactic though, and as mentioned, 80 of those have been through the actual Virgin Galactic flight profile in a centrifuge, a simulator. Of those 80 that have been put through, Virgin are quite pleased to say that there's only been two that have been turned away due to severe medical reasons. So those other 78, and I must say that they do vary in age, physical weight and so forth, they have all gone through this experience with a positive effect. So Virgin Galactic are very positive that the 3 days out at the spaceport will be enough, although passengers, future astronauts, would certainly have the possibility of training at the NASDAR Centre in a centrifuge experience if they just wanted to get some of that tolerance and preparation up prior to actually going out to Spaceport America.
So doing the centrifuge and stuff is voluntary?
It is. So the first 80 Virgin actually funded their training. They put them through, and that was to help them gather some medical data as well to see what types of effects this flight profile would have on your everyday person. But for astronauts past the 80 mark, then it is a voluntary experience, although one that I would highly recommend.
How many flights do you expect to do a year?
Well, initially they would like to begin with one flight a week as that, I guess...
As an initial start-up period?
as an initial startup period. They'd then like to carry that through with maybe twice weekly, and then hopefully in the future daily flights.
Obviously not with just one vehicle.
No. We have 5 spaceships on order and 2 motherships.
Yeah, the White Knight.
White Knight 2, yes.
Okay, so if you're doing daily flights with 5 ships, yeah, that's each particular ship's flying about once a week.
Yes,
yeah,
certainly.
That's pretty...
Yeah, approximately.
Sure as heck beats the space shuttle.
Certainly a turnaround time. And that was, again, another, well, as part of the Ansari X Prize, that was one of the criteria that this spaceship had to meet, and that was being a reusable aircraft. So Burt Rutan and Scale Composites accomplished that, and that's when Virgin Galactic did become quite interested in the technology, because obviously... if you can only use a spaceship once, it would become quite an expensive venture, a company to run, and also quite an expensive ticket for people to buy. So at least this way, by having the same aircraft that can be reused over and over again, it's allowing to keep costs down and allowing it to open up to a wider market. Hopefully in the future, prices will come down as the technology, is down pat, but yeah, we'll see what happens in the future.
Yes, I've heard the analogy there is that if Virgin Blue had to buy a new airliner every time it flew from Melbourne to Sydney, the flights would be very, very expensive.
It would be, definitely.
And that's been the situation in human spaceflight up until this point. Any prospects of flying from Australia? Because I believe you're flying from Arizona.
It's from New Mexico.
New Mexico.
So the spaceport's being built from there. Not at this stage, although down the track in years to come, I'm fairly sure Virgin Galactic are quite open-minded about building spaceports around the world. Again, it's quite a costly venture, so I think once they've got New Mexico up and running and certainly enough aircraft to facilitate those constant flights, then... certainly, you never know. We do have the right landscapes. Weather conditions is another factor, and again, there are certain parts of Australia that could handle that. So it may certainly be a possibility in years to come.
And how much will it cost?
Just a small price tag of $200,000 at this stage.
So many people have that much money?
Well, there's quite a few astronauts signed up around the world, so I guess if you've got the passion for something like this, then there's probably the chance that you may find the money to do it. I guess for the average Australian, that might seem a little bit out of the league, but we have sold, Virgin Galactic have sold quite a few tickets in Australia, so it's certainly still an achievable goal to some.
Yes, a little bit extra on the mortgage on the house.
Yes, certainly, yes. I think some people have reserved a seat for their 60th birthday and so forth like that. So I think, again, it comes down to having the passion to really want to do something like this.
And if I want to go, where do I form the orderly queue to buy the ticket?
Well, Kirsty and myself, along with our team at Meridian Travel in Rosanna, are the accredited space agents for Victoria. So I would certainly direct you to our website, being www.meridiantravel.com.au, and certainly we have a wealth of information on that site regarding Virgin Galactic. Also, please feel free to give us a call.
And your street address?
127 Lowell Plenty Road, Rosanna.
Okay, so...
can I also add in too, somewhere along the lines, as part of booking a ticket with that flight cost, you've yes got your 3 days out at Spaceport America, but as soon as you do reserve a seat and make a booking, Virgin Galactic involve you in all milestone events. So for example, when White Knight 2 was launched out of the hangar last year, they had a private event for all the astronauts booked to date that could attend that private viewing of her. So you're certainly kept in the loop with what's going on at Virgin Galactic. It's not a case of booking your ticket now and not hearing from them for 2 years. They will keep you up to date with all the with all the events that are unfolding and how the project is developing.
Well, thank you very much.